And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Round Table. It's your boy, Man Weezy Fresh. And we got Bo Beast over there to the right.
My nickname never changes.
Queen right here. And we got Be Real. It's a lovely night in New York City, which is where we're doing our first four podcasts. And we're loving it.
First four episodes, of our podcast.
Of our podcast. Thank you for the correction.
Got your back, babe.
Love the rebukes. Always a pleasure. And we got some Bino. B, let's talk about it.
So last episode, we were talking about how we're on a New York budget. So all these wines that we're drinking on these New York episodes are below $6.
We really are on a budget.
That's crazy. Yes.
Bucks and lower.
This is crazy. So this one is Oveja Negra.
Ooh, that was a good pronounce.
Yes, that was
so much breath.
Oh, it came out like Niga earlier. So this is a Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
Did I say that right?
Si, Sauvignon Blanc.
So I love this.
Say it confident and we got
because
it.
Because there is a, this is a product of Chile. This is a black sheep. Chile. Okay. I can't speak Spanish. I'm part Mexican, but I'm terrible at speaking Spanish. Anyways,
same.
Black sheep. I love it because black sheep are the ones that stand out, who kind of carve their own path and don't follow what everyone else is doing, is a great segue
to
into
the
episode.
Cheers, yeah, because we're talking
cheers.
About
I'm the shit.
We got it.
Hey man, this is what this conversation is called, okay? And I know some people are gonna take offense to this.
Oh, $6.
But
it's not good.
It's not.
Oh, man.
Hey, the people of Chile are proud of this.
Let's
be proud of it. Hey, so the episode's called On the Shit. Here's why, guys. Here's why. We have this. Okay, in my life, I guess I always speak for myself. In my life, there have been times where I have been made to feel less than because of other people's insecurities. So I have been made to feel like I shouldn't be as confident as I am, because other people have insecurities in them of their own doing and then project on me and make me feel like, oh, you're too confident, you're conceited, you're cocky, you're all about this, you're all about that. For a long time, I would just believe them and I would try to fix myself and I'll try to fix myself. And then I would realize, oh man, they're still saying it. They're still being the same way towards me. And so it dawned on me that it's 100% you. Like 1,000% you have a problem with yourself. And for whatever reason, I don't have that same problem. So you want me to tone it down so that I don't make you feel bad. And boom. That started happening way back in the day. I remember when I first got saved, you know, I had some people that were trying to make me out to be something that I was overconfident and I was thinking that I was better than them. And the reality was, I was 1,000% better than them. And not because not because I'm over hyping myself. It's just that there's certain things that people are better than you at. So like if me and Brandon played basketball, he would notably beat me. Why? Because he's a professional basketball player. So I'm not gonna be like him and be like, yeah, Brandon thinks he's so dope at basketball.
Right.
He thinks he's better than me. Like, that's so whack.
No, bro, he is better than you.
Like, you just have to accept it.
Yeah.
So there's certain things. And there's people that are, you know, and I remember my best friend in high school, Eric. Sorry, Eric. That nigga will always be like, he would be so mad because people will always hype me up in my drawings. He was a better drawer than me. But people will always be like, oh, paying attention to my drawing. And then it would be, you hear that? This is New York soundtrack.
New York City.
New York City with the siren
it.
In the back.
I'm not,
I'm not even going to push pause because I want that to be there. Okay. So he would always, with it, and then breakdancing. He was a way better breakdancer. But whenever I got out there, people would be like, oh, this dude, like, man, he's dope. Man,
you
he's dope.
You used to breakdance?
Yeah, yeah.
For, well, let's
I,
talk about that
yeah,
later.
I was amazing. Just kidding. He was way better than me. But he wouldn't get the props. And I would always try to hype him up. I'd be like, no, man, you're better, bro. You can dance way better than me. You can break way better than me. And I would try to hype his ego up. But no matter how much I hyped him up, people would always come back and reaffirm me. And I would always wonder, why was that? And it brings me to you've probably heard me say it, but there's a king-type mentality that I have. I believe I am a king, and I believe people become kings, and In the moment in time where they can accept the positives and the strengths that they have without lording it over people.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So when you're a king, you're praised and you have that favor, you have that that thing that people can't put their finger on, but they like you. They like things about you because you are gifted and amazing, but you don't make other people feel like shit because they may not have those giftings. And I know that in my mind, like, I know that God has given me something to be special more than anything else. But I use that by caring for other people way more than I care for myself. So yeah, I'll floss, I'll be whatever. And this is why our attire, if you're watching this on YouTube, me and B here are draped in Versace.
Versace.
As the ultimate Versace. Middle finger to those who are telling us to tone down. But it became all about accepting my strengths, accepting the talents that God has given me, accepting the things that I worked hard on to be great, and then loving people through those very things. And anybody who's close to me, everybody who knows me knows that all those things that people would make me feel small for are the things that I would give away to make somebody else happy. Lance always says it. Lancelot always tells me. He's like, yeah, man, I hear people talk crap about you. But I'm like,
thanks, buddy.
No, because Lancelot is a real nigga, bro. Lancelot be like, but I defend you. And he'd be like, I tell him, I'm like, yo, Manny is the guy that will literally give his shirt off his back. And he's like, because he literally gives me his clothes off of his back. Yeah. If I tell him I like something, Manny takes it off wherever he's at and he gives it to me. And he's like, so you're wrong. That's not who
watch
he is.
Watch people comment on this YouTube and be like, hey, Manny, I like your Versace shirt. Manny, shit.
Brandon, you too. I think you brought up a great point because that's one of the differences between being arrogant and being confident. Mm. So you said a couple things. One about caring people. One about being generous. That's what confident people can do because they're secure. Mm. Arrogant people are basing this false confidence based on tearing and pushing others down below them. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, hey, I am good in relation to. Confident people are able to pull that confidence out within themselves. Arrogant people will try and lord their power over you.
Right. Yeah.
So it's only if I'm only smart if you're dumb.
Right. Yeah.
That's the arrogant mindset. You know, like I'm only great if you're a loser.
Damn.
You know? And so I think that's so true because a king is someone who is taking care of other people. There's a kingdom that they're taking. Hey. It's different of being like a lord, that. You know?
So. That's, in the words of Lauryn Hill, why every Indian want to be the chief? Feed a man till he's full, but he still want beef.
Mm-hmm.
Try to thief off my piece. Why for you to increase, I must decrease. Like, that's deep. Why for you to increase, I must decrease. Mm. Like, why can't we all come up together? Why can't we all? Mm-hmm. And look, this happened throughout my whole life, and it's something that I started realizing that it was like, it's either laziness, it's either insecurity or self-hate that causes people to see the good in you and call it the bad. Instead of encouraging the confidence you have, they make it something. Okay, so for me, it was people, close people in my circle, people I work with before in my old circle, was like, this person's about money. Why is he about money? Because he excels in money. Well, I excel in money because I do the work. You don't because you're lazy. I excel in writing because I write like 1,000 songs a year. You don't write at all. I excel in this because I work hella hard at it. You don't work hard at it. So instead of being okay and accepting, hey, I'm lazy, I don't put in the work, I don't do this, this is why this person has more than me. You'd rather be like, he just wants money, he's greedy, look at the clothes he wears, he's all about vanity. And it's easier to do that than to look at yourself and be like, I just don't work hard enough. I just don't put in the work. And I think we go through life really, really hindering people from becoming who they really want to be or who God has called them to be by projecting on them and making them feel bad for the strengths that God has literally put in their life. Mm. And they stop because guess what? The overwhelming amount of people telling them, no, there's few people that can break through the noise and actually become great, and actually become who they're really supposed to be. And then they end up, here's the beautiful thing, they end up being praised for that very thing that everybody told them was the worst part about them.
Wow, right. It's definitely more comfortable to blame someone else's success on arrogance rather than to make it stop and look at our own, the reasons why we're not there. And I think I used to look at people that worked out a lot and were fit and were like Instagrammy people. Like I'd be at the beach and just see a girl in a bikini that looked good. And I remember I used to, before I became healthy and started valuing that, I actually used to judge them. And I don't love saying that about myself, only that I can say I've come a long way in that area. But I think being able to have that confidence starts with being brutally honest with yourself. So it starts not just by saying, here's all the things I'm amazing at. It starts by seeing someone else that has what you want and being like, hey, is there something in me that is the reason I'm actually not there and I'm trying to blame it on them? And I think I used to look at, for just to use this example, girls like that and be like, oh, they must be like – whatever, like floozies. Why did I use the word floozies? Floozies. They don't, like, they must get with every guy. Like, I just assumed all this crap about them that wasn't true. All it was doing was it was way more comfortable than me saying, oh, I just eat whatever I want and I never move my body. Mm-hmm. And so now being in a place that can often be judged for how I look, especially with the being in ministry or being like a pastor or whatever, no one believes me anyway. I feel sometimes that same judgment that I used to put on other people. And I go back to look at that now and be like, oh, that's because I actually wasn't confident in myself. Did I know these people? Hell no. I was just assuming that because it made me uncomfortable, it must be bad. But actually your confidence can be very confronting to somebody that isn't confident. And they can blame you for that when it's actually not about you. But I think on the flip side of that, there are people that are not confident, arrogant. Like there are the people that don't have anything to show for their life behind the scenes, but keep projecting all this crap that's like, that's arrogant, that's narcissistic, that is. And I think it can trigger some people who have been in relationships with those types of people. So when we're talking about a subject like confidence and being able to like shake things off. Taylor Swift, I just felt like I needed to put like an honest reference in there, you know what I mean? No, but like I think that that can trigger some people as well when we're talking about
1,000%. Like if you met arrogant people that portray, here's the difference of what we're talking about. I think the difference between kings and arrogant people are that arrogant people have a hard time finding people that will agree with them. Like they will think they are amazing.
There's no very one else few around people around them. That. That's like, true.
But kings don't even have to say it. A good king, people will say it for them. Like, this guy's amazing.
That's
like,
true.
He really is amazing, you know? And I really think there's a line of jealousy that also plays a part in it. Like Drake says, you know, jealousy is love and hate at the same time. Like, it's a line that will,
straight up.
Pastor Drake, he always be preaching to me. Reverend and it's like, Drake. It really Reverend is. Aubrey. I think about my own life, like the times that I've been jealous of someone, it's because they're outworking me. I can't like front.
Sheesh, that's
they're just
good.
Outworking me. They just spent more time. I'm like, there's certain dudes that I look at that I'm like, this guy's a better rapper than me. He writes more songs. He practices more. I can't even be mad at him or his success. I used to think, oh, why not me, God? Or
right?
You know, I would see friends try to pick that person down and be like, oh, but he's corny. Or he's this or he's that. Oh, yeah, nigga, but he got, you know, 400,000 subscribers on YouTube and he got millions of plays
and
people really love him. And you have nothing. In my last season when I was making music, it would always be that. It would be judging other musicians and being like, yeah, but they're corny or you're this and they're that. And I'm like, yeah, but more people listen to them than us. So what are you talking about? You have no leg to stand on. Like, praise people for what they are. The Bible says honor the good in people so that they don't have to do it themselves. Don't force people to become cocky. Like, love on them, honor them, tell each other what's good about them. Don't be afraid of it, because I promise you the reason you are so attracted or so even attracted by the hate, you're even hating on people because you're attracted to them. You don't hate on things you're not attracted to. You don't just randomly hate stuff that you don't care about. You hate things that you are attracted to that steal your focus. That's why you're hating on it. You're gathering enough energy to hate on that because it affects you in some way or another. It affects you. You either want to be it or you're mad that that person is being something that you're not.
Didn't you say you dated a girl one time that would not tell you that you were handsome because you got told too many times
what?
From other people or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's that story?
Well, because she said,
say that again.
She said, I'm not going to tell you you look good because everybody tells you you look good. I was like, cool.
We're done.
Deuces. I was like, man, that's so sad. I was like, no, that's cool. I
tell my husband multiple times a day. I'd be like, damn. Like, he'll just walk in the room and be like, damn. Yeah, my babe. I don't know.
Let's make out later.
Okay, for sure. Deal. there's definitely something to be said for having this self-confidence balanced with humility. And for me, humility can be, I mean, I'm trying to say this with the least amount of Christianese possible, but like a spirit of humility. Like you can feel when you're communicating with someone, talking with someone, if yeah. they're saying something positive about their self with humility behind it, you're like, yeah, that's confidence. And then if they're saying something and it's turns from positive into braggadocious, that's because there's no humility on it. Like I don't yeah. feel humility while like what you're saying feels syrupy and icky, and I feel like I can feel it in the air. So I don't know how to like articulate that without it being you can feel the vibration of humility on someone. And
okay. Wait though.
Okay.
Wait.
Oh.
But we said this in other episode, which I've told her before. It's hard to find something in someone else that you don't possess. There's a lot of people who have a false humility that think that they can see what real humility is.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So when you say that it's a feeling,
okay,
that's only trusted if there's an actual humble person that is getting the feeling.
Okay. Does that make sense? So that's why I can feel it.
Yes, yes, because you okay. legitimately are so a humble person.
Yeah, he's just making that distinction.
Okay, so thank you so much.
Yeah, because no, because there's some people feedback. Out there that may be like, oh, humble. Yeah, I'm right. I can feel this way because I feel this nigga's not humble.
Right.
But it's like, but you don't know what real humility is. You have a false sense of humility. You actually think humility is going around low, not talking about yourself, making sure that nobody thinks that you're awesome. And
not
I'm
not giving yourself permission not to giving be great. Yourself,
yeah, you know, you're, like, you're just really
so
low-minded.
In my attempt to describe humility for me, I in my life, my industry, my work, what I do, mm-hmm. I have so much confidence in myself, in my gift
yeah.
of bringing joy to people, and I don't have to bring anyone else down in order to make me good, and I don't have to pretend that I'm not funny or pretend that I'm not talented, but also at the same time, I know that I'm constantly supporting others around me, yes. bigging up people around me. And when my opener, Mal Hall, he challenges me so much because he's so funny and he's always writing new material. And I'm constantly telling him that. And for instance, like just yesterday, I was watching a video that he made. He edited, put it together. I called him on the phone. I said, hey, did you edit that video yourself or you had somebody do it? He's like, no, I did it myself. And I was like, bro, that was really good. And yeah. I started pointing out things that I liked about it. Your transition from here to here, whatever. He's like, oh, thanks. Cool. And then later on, he texted me and was like, hey, thanks for reaching out and telling me that. Like, I've been working really hard on that. Oh.
I'm so sorry. My Ooh. Microphone did not like what you were saying. It decided that.
$6 wine. Sorry.
No. Sorry. But, sorry so, for Melissa's microphone.
That's all right.
What are you saying?
Apology accepted.
I am
constantly finding the good in other people and yes. drawing it out of them yeah. as well.
And it's one of your best qualities because Thank whenever you. You're, no, for real though, because whenever you're on, whether it's Angela's Instagram, that it, she could make it all about her. Every single day on her story, there is something about another business, someone else's comedy special that came out, something that she liked that she's not getting paid for. It's not like hashtag ad on there. It is because that is who you are and that's why you can see it in other people. I was in the room when you called Mal and he was, because it shocks people when people just do that. And he was like, is that, what else is up? And you're like, oh no, that's all. That's all. It's cool. And now he's more used to it than probably other people because you do it so often. But that is a quality of someone that has confidence in themselves. So like Manny was saying, is bringing it out in other people because this is not a competition. Confidence mm-hmm. does not see things as a competition. There's a reason to get better mm-hmm. rather than beat them in mm-hmm. that sense. And I think yes. that you possess that.
Thank and here's you. The beautiful thing. Look, at least in my own life, the reason I stirred up so much confidence as a child is because I didn't have enough people telling me I was amazing. You know what I'm saying? So I had to find a belief in myself.
I didn't either.
Because there wasn't anybody telling me that I was going to be great. You know, I got kicked out of freaking preschool Granted, it was my bad. I cursed out the principal.
In preschool?
He was a baby thug. Ask my parents. I got kicked out.
And then he went and robbed a bank.
Because I had a racial slur to my principal.
Wow.
And I got kicked out. I had to go to public school. Then I got kicked out of middle school because I fought my principal because he got in my face. And he told me when I went to his office, he was like, Reyes, I've been dying to kick you out from the second you came into my school. Dying to kick me out. So I missed like the last 3 weeks of middle school because me and him got in a fight. Then in high school, same thing. I almost got expelled for attempted assault on a teacher.
What's wrong with you?
I was a bad person.
That's so weird now because you meet Manny and he's like a soft bear.
So kind.
Like, unless you cut him off on the road.
It was horrible.
Unless you don't let him in and he puts his blinker on, forget it.
But it was like legitimately like, I had no one, like, he told me, like, you're just going to end up in prison or dead. And that was just everything that I always got. So there's something in me that had to be a big F you to everybody who thought that I wasn't going to make it. And I had to believe it on my own. Now, granted, my parents weren't necessarily, like, my parents never, like, downed me. But they definitely thought that my dreams and the way I thought was a little bit out there. Like, when I left all the scholarships on the table to go to a state school for me to go to a Bible college, they were like, we don't get this. Like, this is a mistake. When I went and started doing music, Papa, and I told them,
why are you gonna do that?
Yeah, like, because I had scholarships to every state school, free rides, you know what I'm saying? Because of grades. And when it came to me going to start music, my mom was like, wait, so you're in college right now, paying for college, but you want to do music? And I was like, yeah, mom, I'm just doing college for fun. Like, this is just, I just wanted to learn about Jesus, so I went to a Bible college, but I'm going to be a musician. And she thought that was the worst idea ever. And I didn't feel like they didn't believe in me, but they just didn't believe in that dream. But I knew that they would, because they've always been like a supporter of me. They just never been vocal because nobody was that for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until I started winning and God started showing them that it was real. Everything that I was feeling was real. And so that confidence permeated, which is why to this day, it's really hard to shake my confidence because it came from inside. And when I transitioned into Christianity, it got even more serious because then I was like, wait, I found an identity, not in like the things that could be altered, because I wasn't the flyest. I wasn't the best at everything. So I couldn't be like, I'm the number one basketball player. I'm the number one breakdancer. I'm the number one whatever. I was just always good enough to be in the conversation, but I was never number one. When I found God, there was this insane feeling of like, oh, but I'm like number one to him. And that sounds whatever, but I just had this feeling of like, yeah, but I'm God's son. So I have this supreme confidence of like everything I thought about myself before, there's someone else in my creator
that thinks the
same thing, but he's truth. So he can't be a lie and he thinks I'm the shit. So I must be. I really must be. And all these other people that are gonna look at me and say I'm not, I just can't. You can't be close to me.
Just to tag on really quick to what you're saying about finding the confidence within yourself because you didn't have it around you. I remember when I first was deciding to move to Hollywood to be an actress, I told my mom, I'm going to move to Hollywood. I'm going to be an actress. She said, I'll believe it when I see it. Mm. I don't believe that my mom didn't like support me or believe in me. It was just like, it was a big thing to say. So, and it was like, really? Okay. You've lived in the same bedroom your whole life, but sure, go ahead, go to Hollywood. And then I called my older brother, who I don't have that close of a relationship with, but I remember I was like seeking like somebody validate me, right? And he was like, it's against my better judgment, but do what you want to do. And I called my dad, and my dad, real honest, was like, why are you going to do that? You don't know anything. Nobody's going to hire you. Exact words.
Wow.
And then my sister was the only one. I said, Veronica, I'm going to move to Hollywood and I'm going to be an actress. And at this point, it was like I had heard all them already, like not reject, but not have the confidence. So it almost fueled me even more. And I was like, screw that. I'm going. So by the time I went to her, it wasn't I was asking her, what do you think? Should I do it?
Right.
It was like, hey, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, you had to decide.
And Veronica was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go do it. I wonder, I was like, cool, thanks. I wonder if there's something on that journey for you, though, that had to, that it almost attracted the validation from Veronica because you had to go on the journey to believe in yourself.
Yeah, maybe.
Whereas other people, it was like, I'm going to move to Hollywood, but it had question marks behind it. Validate right. me. I don't know if I'm really doing it. And then by the time you got to Veronica, you had to go on the journey of like, someone's got to believe in me. I'm going to do this. And she almost felt that from you.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I should stop being mad at my dad.
Oh, that's a different pod.
Whoa, deja vu.
Let's talk about it. For me, growing up, I was kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum in a sense that my parents just always encouraged me so much. Brandon, you kind of nodding as well. I think you were like that too. So whether it's ministry families or like that fact that, you know, our parents didn't get that from their parents. My dad and my mom were always so encouraging. I want to say it almost made me entitled. I probably could take out the almost in it. I was a PK. I was bratty. Like, why not was always my answer. Like, yeah, I can do this.
Do you know who my parents are?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm going to do this now. Thank you. Bye. I want to be the lead in the production. Oh, you're already the lead? Oh, I think I'm going to take that role. Thank you. I was the worst. And so it didn't take long for that to be knocked out of me in school. But it was this then confusing thing of I'm always validated and I'm always spoken so well of in my home and in church. And then outside, it's like, well, who the heck are you and why are you saying that? So growing up, I was entitled in that sense because of the amount of confidence. Like it was the arrogant type. And then I moved to LA. No one knows who I am or who Michael Murphy is, my dad. And so it was starting over and it was a brutal shock to my system. And then you go through start building, start doing stuff, living my best life, write a book, start traveling. People start, in church world at least, I guess, asking me to come and speak and all the things. And so I start being confident again, get married and think that my husband's going to treat me the way my dad used to treat me. And that never came. It came in the early stages of dating, but it wasn't. I didn't check how deep those roots went down of encouragement. And so they didn't last very long, if that makes sense. And so I found myself in a marriage, honestly feeling like, well, then who am I guess? Shrinking into not the healthy sense of confidence and humility, the really unhealthy sense of insecurity and fear. And became towards the end a shell of who Elise is. And my dad and I, when we were talking about it after everything had happened, he said when he came back to LA before I went, before the marriage officially broke up, he said I was like talking to you and I almost couldn't recognize you because you would not even look me in the eye. You wouldn't really respond to questions. Wow. It was a very small version of the girl that I had raised.
Wow.
And I believe very strongly that I had to go back to Australia for those 4 months to find my identity as the daughter again. And in that, what you were saying, Manny, with the identity thing of knowing like you're a king's kid in a sense, I had to get that back. But this time, because of what I'd walked through, it was a genuine confidence, not entitlement, not arrogance. It was a confidence that is rooted in humility because I know what I've walked through. And I know what I've had to fight through and the lies that I have had to dispel and the thoughts that I've had to get rid of and the work I've had to do to be able to say, I'm the best, like I'm awesome. And so I think because of that now, it's just an interesting different perspective of I didn't grow up with having to find it by myself. I actually had that later on and then had to fight my way back to what that confidence is we're talking about.
Yeah, that's a similar story to mine. I'm reminded of a passage which has been kind of like something I've really been like trying to read and comb through is Romans 8. And it has this part in Romans 8 that it says this, that if God be for us,
who can be against us? Come on, church.
And another translation says, if God has decided that he loves you, what can stop that love? So if he's already made up his mind about me, it's just me catching up, making my own mind about me.
Hey.
Of like, he's with it, I got to get with it. Mm-hmm. And similar to Elise's story, like I grew up in a home where both my parents were like super supportive, like constantly like, we believe in you. Mm-hmm. We believe in you. Like I can hear my mom's voice. I hear my dad's voice saying, we believe in you. We believe in you, son. And for a long time, it was basketball. And one of my dad's nicknames for me growing up was Champ. He'd always call me Champ. You know, obviously short for Dad. Champion. Yeah. But like he legitimately made me feel like that. And so it put this confidence in me that like, my dad has got my back. My mom has got my back. So understanding that you're not alone, that someone has got your back, especially early on, that's one of those things that reinforces confidence, that self-esteem. And similar to Lisa's journey, it wasn't until later on where when basketball gets taken away from me because yeah. I had been so confident in that because I had put the hours in. Like, I wasn't just good at basketball because God gifted me. Right, you know, no. I'm like, I'm barely 6 feet with my shoes on. You look at me, you would not assume, like, I can ball. But, like, I'm in the gym in one summer shooting 70,000 shots.
Oh, my God. That happened to me in my summer as well. Our stories are
70,000 so shots. Similar. What were you drinking?
I once did a state basketball trip. I literally got on the court, like, for 5 seconds and tripped over my own shoe, and the coach took me off. Very similar. You know what I mean? So, confidence.
And sorry, so, like, all putting the work in was what allowed me to get confident with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because it wasn't like, again, so many people had just a false confidence. It was just like assuming, hey, if I believe myself, it's going to work, yeah. but like not even really making it work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then too, I think the confidence that I've built inside of myself has been one of those things that I've found bravery in. Like I love one of my one of my favorite Kanye lines is this. He says, "We found bravery in my bravado."
Mm.
And I love that because like, you can be confident to such a point where people around you can pull bravery from that confidence that you carry.
Yeah.
Like my best friend, he went through a really bad breakup. And I remember at one time telling me, he goes, "Man, thank you for being so confident. Like your confidence has given me courage in my own life."
Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And again, it's even too just like pulling myself through.
Yeah.
That confidence is that voice that's still inside of me. Like, yeah, you could do this.
Yeah.
Well, man, because, you know, I think about this and maybe there's people listening. Maybe there's people listening thinking, nah, y'all just conceited. Or this dude is this dude is for sure conceited. He is way too up on himself. Maybe that's the truth. What is the adverse? Like, what is the other side of it? Do we, or at least for me, let me speak for myself. Do I listen to the voices on the internet that tell me I'm crap? Do I listen to the people that were closest to me that tell me I'm greedy, I'm this, I'm that, when in my heart I know, man, I give so much more than you would ever know? You know, is the adverse me believing the voices that want me to fail? Like, is that the adverse? Would you really be happy me being that unhappy so that you can feel happy?
I've lived the other way though. So for me, after the, because I've had those conversations in my head of like, maybe I'm too, when things started going down south, like it was down south, I felt weird. When things started going south in my marriage, I was like, oh, it's me. I'm narcissistic. I'm arrogant. I'm entitled. And there was some of that stuff for me to work through in terms of not wanting to fight for things. But by the end, what I realized is that shrinking to make someone else comfortable will never work.
No.
And I had two people that were in our church that called me out for a prophetic word in the entire congregation. The second time was crazy because it was the same as the first prophetic word I'd had 4 months earlier. But the two didn't know each other. But the congregation was sitting there listening to practically the very same word that I'd heard in the January. And the word was, you need to stop shrinking to make someone else uncomfortable. To make someone else comfortable, you're dimming your own light. Mm. And that's enough of that, basically. Like, you were called to shine and shine bright. And they started like praying over me about my voice, which is so interesting because it was like the first time was about a month before you asked, you started talking about the podcast. And the second one was really at a point to confirm the first one when we had started and we were getting messages back about my voice. And I think when I was thinking about, well, maybe I do just shrink, maybe it is pride, maybe it is me, maybe I shouldn't dream of success because my success must be selfish because nobody else seems to be validating it in a sense. And then I got those words that you cannot ignore how similar they were and the amount of people after that was coming up to me trying to remind me, you got that in January. I was like, thank you. I'm aware. But it reminded me that like so many people out there are living to make other people comfortable around them.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how many of us will get to heaven and realize, oh crap, I completely missed my calling because God called me to be way bigger than I lived, but that person wasn't comfortable with it. That person's comment on the internet made me shrink. That friend that was jealous of me, like, was trying to turn everyone around me, or like those opportunities, those doors closed, so I just gave up to make everyone else around me comfortable. And I just had to come to a point where I'd rather have to rein in my confidence than have to shrink to make somebody else comfortable.
No, yes, yeah. Because look, like I said, that one thing that people are going to look, and we're talking about positive attributes, okay? That one thing that people come after you about that you're so confident in because you're so good at it, and they try to tear you down because that's where your confidence is coming from, and you're like, you're shining in that area. That will be the one thing that the Lord will use to bless so many people. So for me, you know, back since I can remember, back when I was in my group, it was, this guy's all about money. This guy's all about money. So I stopped handling all of our money, even though I was the reason that we had six figures in the bank, that we were never in debt, because I know how to handle money because it was my gift. But because you guys think that I'm all about money, I hand that over. I got a business manager. I got as far away from the money. And it never changed. The view of me never changed. I was still the nigga that only wanted money. And at the end of the day, now I use those very talents not only to help all my other friends, because I'm the first call when my friends have questions about money. And I'm helping people, guiding them through financial talks, and they're winning because of our conversations. Not only that, I got my parents out of debt. Now my parents have no debt, and they're living a free life, when before they were $180,000 in debt with no sign of getting out of it.
Wow.
But because of the gift that everybody says, oh, this guy's all about money, now my parents are living on easy street because of that gift that they wanted to take away, that if I would have let them take away, my parents wouldn't be where they're at. Me and my queen. Like, I got brainy ideas, and, you know, I just recently made a funny investment that cost us. But but since we've been together, our net worth is like tripled. You know what I'm saying? Because God has placed a gift on me when it comes to money.
And the enemy knows that, and that's what he goes after.
I cannot let these small-minded people convince me that I am about something. Because sometimes I want to be like, okay, fool. Mister, you think I'm about money? I can't do this because the Bible says that don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. But sometimes I want to be like, pull out your statements, bruh. How much did you give this year? Do you really want to compare? Do we want to go there? Because you don't even know. You don't even know what we do with our money. And I guarantee you, if we pulled out our statements, it would be a lot different. I refuse to let anyone steal that from me, something that I've worked so hard to give to other people and that God has given to me. I refuse. And if you're listening, if there's that thing that you're like, man, do not let people steal your shine. Do not let people steal that thing that you know is a gift, that you know God has given you, that you know you are flowing in and people respect it and people are attracted to you because of it. Yeah. Do not let small-minded people make you small.
You got to let your light shine.
Yeah.
Like, and I think about that even this summer. Like, I was really challenged. I kind of took like a break from social media just a little bit. Like, I wasn't going to announce it. Like, hey, everybody, I'm going to be away. It's one of my pet peeves.
I'm retiring.
Like, actually, I didn't care to begin with. Second of all, cool. Have fun not being on social media, you know?
Checking the comments of the post you just posted about, you know, being on social media.
You know, it was funny because I got this picture of just like this like little pathway, and there was like this light shining through, and it was limited by the size of the doorway of the light that could actually shine through. And I was thinking of that passage. Like, I'm super on my verses right now. Oh, shit. Oh, man. One of my favorite verses, and I would always sign it when I'd sign autographs, is Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men that they would see your good works and they would glorify your Father in heaven. And like, to translate that for you is like, you are called to shine, and you are called to let that light that is inside of you shine as bright as possible, because in that shining, there is this love that can come through, and that love is the thing that transforms hearts and transforms lives. So like, I want to always create as much as space as possible for love to shine through my life. Mm. And the moments that I choose to shrink myself, the moments I choose to make myself small, I am limiting the amount of love and light that could come through my life.
Very good.
And again, I don't want to just be the best I can be. I want the people around me to be the best they can be.
Yes.
And in order for that to happen, I have to be everything that I can be.
Yeah.
And so many people don't even give themselves permission to shine. Mm. And maybe you need to hear somebody tell you, like, hey, go out there and be amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I tell my young people all the time, go out there and be amazing. Mm-hmm. I stand by you. I support you. Go and shine. Mm-hmm. No more of the like, hey, like hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to do that all the time when people compliment me, like especially being in ministry. They'd be like, yo, you were amazing on stage. It was not me. It's Jesus.
Oh, man.
It's the Lord. God, it's the Lord in me. God. But you know what?
You start using these and vows. Thy I'm like, Lord, do
somebody pulled me aside and you know what they told me? They're like, look, whenever they do that to you, you know, what you are doing, like you're basically the God in them, whether they know it or not, is honoring the God in you. The best thing that you can do is just say, thank you. Don't make them feel foolish for praising you, because you know where the praises belong, but they don't know. At this point, they don't know. A mature person would, or not mature, that's the wrong word. Somebody who understands what we're talking about will understand it. I can say, yo, bro, you're freaking amazing. Like, you're amazing at this thing. Yeah. You're freaking, and I know that you know exactly what we're talking about. Like, exactly. You were created amazing. I'm not worried about you getting a big head, stupid stuff like that, because I know you know where this is coming from.
Yeah.
A little 14-year-old girl who's awed by my dance moves and my whatever comes up and says, oh my God, you're the best. You're so amazing. You dance for amazing. I'm not going to be like, nah, actually, Chris Brown dances better than me and Trey Songz can sing way better than me. Trey so Songz. You're not accurate in what you're saying, but hey, to God be the glory. You know, like, just be like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Because what I'm, translation of what you're telling me is the God in you sees the good that God has put in me. So thank you, young girl, and I'm happy to sign an autograph. Like, that's more honoring than being fake humble and saying, you know, this is all the Lord. Thank you. This is the Lord gave me all this stuff.
This has I really do believe that.
It's
not about me.
But if I didn't open my mouth, if I didn't work hard at dancing, if I didn't work hard at writing, if I didn't do any of those things, God would not be using me. I'd be that dude with the talents who hid it under a rock and didn't do anything with it. So yes, it's something about you that you have a part to play, and that's the beautiful thing in this relationship with God. You have a part to play in the amazingness that is going to be your life.
Yeah. I have a really good thank you story really quick before we move on from this topic. Similarly, somebody said something like that to me. So I've always wondered when I get to share this story.
Oh my God, I'm so
very happy about it.
Now I'm like really excited.
So years ago, I met Meghan Markle. Before she was our favorite princess.
Princess Meghan.
Years and years ago, I was a stand-in on a TV show.
Wow.
If you don't know what that means, it's like extras. You're just in the background. You walk there back and forth or you sit there and whatever. A stand-in means like you stand in the place of the actor while the lighting and camera crew gets their stuff together. And then you tell the real actor, this is where you stand. So I was a stand-in on a TV show. She was a guest star on that show. She was coming in just doing one episode. And we're standing by the craft service table. And she says to me, you have really nice skin. And I say to her, oh, no, you have really nice skin. And she stops me, and with all sincerity, and she was really educating me and helping me. She wasn't putting me down, but she stops me and she goes, hey, when someone gives you a compliment, it's okay to say thank you.
Ooh.
And that has stuck with me because I thought if I say thank you, that means I'm conceited. If I say thank you, that means I agree with you, and that means I'm conceited. But she gave me permission
to say thank you,
to just say thank you and accept it. To receive. Yeah.
It's like almost like there's a confidence in being able to receive a compliment, especially if it's ministry stuff again, whether it's a sermon or whatever, knowing in your heart what kind of you were saying, Annie, of like, hey, thank you, and not almost there is a false humility every single time. If it's like you literally cannot receive a compliment, whether it's like about a sermon or your skin or your basketball skills or your dance skills, whatever it is. If every time it's deflecting to something else or someone else, I think there's an issue there. And it like
again, I can we can only speak from our own experiences. I don't have a Meghan Markle story. I'm so sorry. Maybe one day I will. But I think what it's the effects of not being confident for me began to attract other people that were jealous and insecure as well. Mm-hmm. And so we've talked many times on this podcast about like who you are will attract like you attract who you are, not what you want. And I think that part of having that confidence is understanding who I'm becoming and understanding my identity and who I am and the confidence that comes with that. I'm very confident in the fact that that is attracting that in someone else. And so that's what's bringing that towards me. When I met the other relationships I've had, I wasn't in that place. And so whether I knew it or not, you attract who you are. So kind of going back even what you were saying before of like, what's the other option? The other option is attracting also something that you don't want either, which is insecurity and fear, you know?
And even the question of like how much confidence is too much,
yeah,
is a question that confident people will ask. Most people aren't asking that question because most people aren't at that spot. In reality, most people are struggling to have confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, most people are struggling to actually believe in themselves. And so what would you say for you guys? Was there a series of moments or a moment of awakening for you where you realized, yeah, I'm great? Or there's greatness inside of me?
It was my FU moment at church. I told that one on.
Yep.
I told it on the podcast, right?
This is whack.
Yeah.
This is whack.
I said the F.
It's on the abuse podcast.
Was it? Yeah.
And you're I was like, pick up a boat, girl.
Dude, the first time my dad sat down with us and had a meal.
Oh, no.
Manny shares the story.
Yes.
And it was so funny because,
hello, Reverend.
You know, my dad's a great guy. He's not used
to Manuel.
Yeah, he's very conservative. So, like, even hearing cuss words, yes. It was so funny because I'm looking over at the table and I'm like, yes, hey, all good.
No, I think, I'm trying to think if maybe it was even before then that I think that was the time. Okay, I probably had moments before then, but I think it was maybe rooted in a little bit of vanity because I didn't know God. I only knew myself. So I felt like I was drawing from the source that is me. So I always was confident, but I think when there was an aha moment to which my confidence was validated was in that time, because I really felt like, man, why can't my closest people to me just give me props for being good at something? Like, why are they so afraid? And I realized it's a power thing. The second that you hand over your compliment, it's like you hand over your power because you are admitting to this other person that you admire something about them. And when you're the person admiring and not being admired, you feel like that person now has this power over you, this pseudo power. It's just like not wanting to say I love you first. You don't want to say it because you're like, if this guy or if this girl knows that I love them and they haven't said it to me, they have the power. And so I feel like in the same way, it's really hard for people to just come up and say, hey, you're this, and I am okay that this means that you're better than me or at this thing, or that I admire you and I'm hoping to become as good as you in this thing, because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of what that means. And it was really difficult for me not to have that in my friendships because I don't mind doing that for other people. I just don't mind. I don't care because I know that I'd rather honor my friends and what they do and how good they are. And sometimes I am over complimentative, but I'd rather do that than them go searching for it somewhere else in bad things or in people that want to use it against them. And so I've always just been that proponent of praise what is good, because the Bible taught me that. And I never forgot that verse of praising what is good, because I am aware that what is good was God created. So in fact, I'm saying God did good with you. Like, he really did good with you.
God must have spent a little more time on you.
On you, on you.
Backstreet Boys.
I remember.
Backstreet Preachers.
I remember when Julian, nope. When I came back from Australia, and Julian moment? Sorry. I like we were talking in his office and he was like, I think I talked about this on the forgiveness podcast where he said, I want you to get to the place that you have forgiven your ex-husband so much that he could walk back in this church and you'd be almost like happy to see him home type thing. But in that same conversation, he said, Lise, you are in a season right now where you're getting your identity as a daughter back and getting that innocent confidence back. And he said that the confidence that you don't need to hear it from someone else that you're confident, that you just know it in yourself. And I also once heard a preacher, I can't remember who it was, probably all of them, said, if you live off someone's compliments, you'll die off their criticism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that confidence comes from that. And that's the true sense of confidence. I don't have a moment where I was like, man, I'm dope. But it's just, I honestly think it's been something I stepped into this year. And I just had my 30th birthday. And I really did, on that birthday, take a moment where I was like, I feel good. I just feel good. And it's not a thing about how I look or a style or that my life's where I want it to be. I just feel good. And I think that that's kind of, it's been a journey for me this year, I'd say, where I've kind of stepped into something. But that'd be, what about for me?
To tag on what you said, I feel like I have that, I'm a words of affirmation person. Okay, that's one of my love languages. It's words of affirmation. But at the same time, I try to balance not taking everyone else's words as my truth. So I would say, like, early on when I first started, like, getting famous and I would get compliments and all kinds of stuff, it was a lot of positive feedback out the gate. And I'm very blessed by that. But I had the wisdom within that positivity, that feedback that I was getting from people, and I was like, ooh, this feels good. Pause. God, I do not want what other people say about me to be what validates me and to be what I live by. So whether it's, we always say, like, oh, if somebody's talking crap about us, we say, like, oh, in one ear and out the other, right? I said, you know what, God? Let me also treat the positive words that way.
Wow.
Let me hear the positivity. Let it go in one ear and out the other, because no matter what they say, I am who I am.
That's great.
So I would practice that from the very beginning of not letting people's words validate me. But to speak to a specific moment I just had recently, and I wouldn't say it's the moment where I realized I was the bomb. But I had a moment where I am self-confident in myself. I know that I'm good, that I have a gift, that I can bring people joy, that I'm a good storyteller, that I'm a good actor. I know that in myself. I don't even really need anybody else to validate it. I just know it. It's nice to hear other people validate it, but I just know it within me. And recently I was at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Canada. And there's a lot of headliners from all over the place come to this festival. And this one night, I was complimented multiple times by fellow respected comedians. And I rarely get that. And that was very special to me. And I remember in one night, I walk into the green room and I see Jay Farrow in the green room from Saturday Night Live. And I've never met him before. I know who he is, obviously. And I walk into the green room and he goes, yo, like so excited to see me. And he's like, yo, big fan. And I was like, me? And he goes, yeah. And I go, oh, I'm Angela Johnson. Like I was trying to correct him. Like obviously being funny, but still at the same time, I'm like, wait,
but also,
you know who you're talking to?
Yeah.
Just to be clear, to before I receive.
Before you say thank you so
before
much.
Before I receive. Yeah. And then he starts talking about my work that he appreciated.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, thank you. And in my mind, I remember thinking like, I know I'm good, but it's nice to know that you think I'm good too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Thanks. So I kind of had this moment. And then like a couple other people that same night, I was like, whoa, he thinks I'm good too? Wow, thank you. You know?
Yeah, so, it confirmed something rather than validated something.
Y'all hopping on the same page. That's
look, bottom of the line, we're
bottom of the line.
Our confidence is oozing at this moment. And before it gets lost on you, the whole reason we're talking story like this is so that if you're listening and if you feel like you are that person that is shrinking for your husband, for your girlfriend, for your boyfriend, for your wife, for whatever it is, if you find yourself shrinking or becoming small or losing that confidence that you know was put there by God himself, man, we just encourage you, man, don't lose yourself. Don't let someone take that from you. Don't let someone steal that from you. Let small people be small. If you got to X them out of your life, X them out of your life. Do whatever you have to do to protect your heart, protect your mind, and let God shine through you, like what he's saying. And even if you don't believe in God, it doesn't even matter. He can still shine through you. He can still
let the light.
He can still show himself in you because he loves you too. So we're so grateful and humbled at this stage, and we are confident that the people who need to hear this is going to hear this.
Yep.
If you heard this whole thing and still think that we're cocky and conceited,
that's cool. Sure.
There's a proverbial door.
Probably, yeah.
And you can
see yourself
walk
out.
Sweet.
We ain't got no time for you. We love you guys so much. Hey, we're going to go have a good time out in the city.
Yep.
Because we're in New York and we try and enjoy ourselves, and people need to see me and Brandon matching Versace.
Yeah, Versace outfits.
With my Nike sandals because I can't wear my shoes out.
I'm wearing white pants too. Like, there's like one thing wearing Versace top, and there's like another thing being wearing white pants. Too, like, gosh. There's got to be a level.
And your buttons down, like your chichis be showing
exactly,
all night.
Exactly, yo. Gold Brandon's chain and chichis showing leavage.
I get in trouble if I did
Cut
that.
Got some male cleavage.
We real. Right. We real good right now.
This
hey,
wine
we love you so
good.
Much. It's not good. I don't even know if I'll drink this last one.
I was slowly trying to get it so at the end of it, I could just.
It's like a shot.
It really is.
Hey, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you're always welcome at ours. Cheers.
Cheers.
Let's do it. It tastes like gasoline.
Hey, man, it's like sometimes when you say stuff, it bothers me because I don't really like what you say in my face. Cause your problems are not my problems, yeah.
I see now, I see how yo is so basic. Nigga, I stem from a rare breed. Homie, yo see, need a facelift. Man, I'm feeling kinda lonely up here. My living room kinda spacious. Yeah, we way up, nigga, way up. Crib might as well be a spaceship, yeah. I get the money in camp. You ride the chicken to bounce. I roll to give me a roller. You roll to get you an ounce. My girl is popping for real. Your girl is popping a pill. We go to Paris for fun. Got a Netflix and chill. Rockstar, always. I live my way. Fast life, highway. Fast car, I've been down the hella back end. Haters wouldn't even know it. Man, I heard a lot of niggas talking fertilizer. That's the reason why I smell like roses and they know it.
I put in work. Came from the bottom. And now we here. Boy, we ain't stopping. Which car we taking? Homie, we got options. You mad at me? That ain't my problem. That ain't my problem. You mad at me? That ain't my problem. That ain't my problem. That ain't my problem. You mad at me? That ain't my problem.
I buy some things, but I know you ain't got them, got them, got them. I stay living my dream. Why you trying hard to get it popping? Yeah, yeah, my life on the big screen. You the audience, you just watching, watching, watching. Can't help God good to me. All the blessings, man, they keep falling, falling, falling. I get so much love that it's retarded. Oops, I said retarded, I'm so sorry. I know you niggas slow, that's why you taught it. Man, give me back my sorry, that's so Kanye.
Give it back, homie, I just want it back. I don't really give a damn what you think on how I act.
Yeah, yeah.
Give it back, homie, I just want it back. I don't really give a damn what you think on how I act.
I put in work.
Put in work.
Came from the bottom.
Yeah,
and now we here.
Yeah.
Boy, we ain't stopping.
No, no.
Which car we taking? Homie, we got options. You mad at me? That ain't my problem. That ain't my problem. That ain't my problem. You mad at me? That ain't my problem. That ain't my problem. That ain't my problem. You mad at me? That ain't my problem.
dropped 2 million for my new crib. Nothing new to me, I got FOMO. That's a starting five for my home squad. My state is real, niggas didn't know. Had some people tell me that I wouldn't make it. Try their best to make a nigga look bad. Now I look back, I'm like, who that? But you wouldn't recognize, I'm so sad. When you start losing touch, I tell my haters, you're doing too much. Road to success, got me switching up gears like I'm passing you niggas. I always been clutch, I think I'm caring too much. I might just say what the fuck, now you ain't ready for that. I get the bag, Louis and Gucci like these old things. Give me that, give me that, give me that.
I put in work, came from the bottom, yeah, and now we here, but we ain't stopping, no. Which car we taking, homie, we got options, you mad at me, huh, that ain't my problem, that ain't my problem, that ain't my problem, you mad at me, ha. That ain't my problem, that ain't my problem, that ain't my